the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text, as we stated, is from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, a group of Christians which he had not as yet visited. His advice, therefore, is on general terms applicable to all Christians. After discussing Christian doctrine in Romans, in fact, more extensively than any of the other letters, Paul now, in chapter 12, turns to Christian ethics. That is, Paul is telling the Christians at Rome, as he is telling us, after doctrine comes duty. After believing comes behaving. After conversion comes conduct. After revelation comes responsibility. The general principle of Christian conduct, Christian ethics, may be summarized under the theme of the last verse: good for evil. The first two verses of our text call the truth some manifestations of good for evil in words. He begins, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them." Notice, it's not merely the abstinence from cursing. It's the positive advice to bless people who persecute us. Bless implies think well of, pray for. Paul's advice then is similar to the advice of our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, pray for those who persecute you. Oh, what a contrast to the simple use of the tongue described in the letter by James, where he says, with it, with the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, but with it we also curse men. Paul continues. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That is, we are to rejoice in the successes of others, sympathize with their adversities. Again, Paul's advice is similar to the pattern of Jesus' life, who did join in the happy occasion at the wedding of Cana, and he joined also in Mary and Martha's adversity at the death of their brother Lazarus. But here again, notice Paul puts first the phrase rejoice in the successes of others. Could he be doing this because this is much more difficult to accomplish? Is it easier to sympathize with others in their adversity than to join in their successes, especially since we are so frequently prone to be envious of those successes, people who are more fortunate than we are? It's not only in words that Paul says good for evil, but also in deeds. In fact, three verses of our text stress the manifestations of good for evil in action. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. That is, do not retaliate evil for evil, but take forethought of what is noble among all people. Paul is giving the direct opposite advice of the maxim, an eye for an eye, or a tooth for a tooth. Nor would he agree with Thrasymachus' definition of justice in Plato's Republic, that is, the ability to do harm to friends and evil to harm to enemies and evil only to friends. So Paul says we should give food and drink even to our enemies. Well, also in verse 18, Paul describes Christian ethics in terms of deeds. This is the only verse in this passage which has two conditions, two provisions. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Note, if possible. That is, there are times when it is neither possible nor advisable for peace to occur. That is, for example, in the face of false doctrine, as we see so frequently in Paul's letters. The second provision, as far as concerns your part, that is, there are times when the Christians may have no control over the activities of others. But these manifestations of good for evil in word and in deed are so frequently the result of correct manifestations of good for evil in thought, which our text also treats. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Be harmonious with others. Think of ourselves as equal to those of lower stations in life. Paul clearly implies here that one basic cause of evil conduct in word and deed is in the sinful thought of pride or conceit. And as he says also in verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That is a related basic source of sinful conduct in the area of sinful thought is anger, wrath. When it is no longer possible, when we do not have control over peaceful existence of peaceful conditions, Paul is saying, let vengeance to God. Even if others are the cause of discord instead of peace, we must control our anger. Paul is definitely picturing here an ideal condition, an ideal situation of always returning good for evil, even to enemies. A picture of constant control of our pride, of our anger and conceit. Or rather, positively, a complete permeation of love in all our thoughts, words, and deeds. A life of humility, meekness, forgiveness, and sympathy, similar to the life which our Lord and Savior led while he was on earth. Professor Nedgin, in his commentary on Romans, has caught the idealism of this passage when he paraphrases it as follows along the lines of 1 Corinthians 13. Love blesses those who persecute it. It blesses and does not curse. Love rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weep. Love lives in harmony with the brethren. It is not haughty, but associates with the lowly. It is never conceited. Love does not repay evil for evil. It takes thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on it, love lives peaceably with all. Love never avenges itself, but loves even an enemy, according to the scriptures, which say, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. Love is not overcome by evil, but overcomes evil with good. This ideal picture of Christian conduct, behavior, responsibility is particularly pertinent in our Lenten season. We must realize again that so frequently we fail to live up to the high principles advocated by St. Paul, to the high principles exemplified in the life of our Lord. It is for this reason that in Lent, we take particular note of the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior on the cross for our weaknesses, for our old Adam. Even as Christians, we daily need to realize and confess that good for evil means not our good, but only the goodness of God, His gracious goodness in sending Christ to atone for our many sins and daily misdemeanors. God grant that this may be our thought of humility, thought of thankfulness, putting all our hopes on God's goodness to overcome our evil. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.